Hey, yo, this is Fonz.
And Quan.
And welcome back to another show. Listen, if you're on social media, primarily Facebook, go search Backpool Sports Podcast War Room, where we are always chopping it up. We got special things going on. And, you know, even if you're a Cowboy fan, or like my man, he's still a fan, we'll still welcome you in, you know.
Watch it.
Also, make sure you subscribe, like, and comment on our YouTube channel at Backpool Sports Podcast. We're there every week, and we would love for y'all to be a part of it by dropping your comments. If you want to be notified of when that video drop, which is also weekly, hit that notification bell right over to the side. Mm-hmm. And anything else you want to add?
Man, I ain't got nothing else, man. Hey,
oh, yeah,
hey. Hey. Well, that's true. It's Thanksgiving. Go help yourself. Hey, oh, happy Turkey Boy Day.
Turkey Boy Day.
Yes,
boy,
sir. You,
ain't nothing like it.
Boy. Ain't nothing like it. Man, I really got to another one.
In honor of this shot of Hennessy and honor of Turkey Boy Day.
Hey, drink up.
Yes, sir.
Hope you feeling real good, because we got a good one for you. Welcome back to the show, my good people. I hope you guys are having an incredible Turkey Boy Day. And we called it Turkey Boy Day. Shout out to my grandmother. She the one put me on that Boyd. She said, I get that boy, and I do this. Boy, when she said it, I was crying. Boy, I swear I was. So, like we said at the top, we want to thank you for joining the show. You know, follow all our social medias. Make sure you subscribe and everything. Just like we said at the top, and we're going to go ahead and jump into this topic. So, outside of being Turkey Boy Day, you got some football on the day. And speaking of football, the playoff race for both conferences, the AFC, the NFC, if you're uninformed, is kind of sort of heating up now.
Right.
Now, just for a little while, we ain't going to be before you long, because I know you got to go get your turkey, your ham, and your stuffing and all that stuff. Got it? Can I get to the yam? Anyway.
Yeah.
And then if you sadiddy, that cranberry sauce. I'm sadiddy, so I like the cranberry sauce. But anyway. Press pause. You ain't going to do cranberry sauce like that. For the simple fact, you put it with that turkey. And don't forget the mac and cheese, man. My mother-in-law, man, God, oh, shout out to her. She makes the best macaroni and cheese inside of heaven. But anyway, we're going to talk about this playoff so I can go and get my playoff on this plate. So, let's start with the AFC first. Now, Monday Night Football, Kansas City Chiefs, Philadelphia Eagles. They play in a game. Kansas City was, when I say was, with an asterisk or what we call quotation marks. I don't like doing air quotes, but they were the number one seed, and they have been since taken over by the Baltimore Ravens, which I'm not really excited about because I have my reasons. Shell shocked, if you will. So we can kind of jump, like I said, jump into AFC first. So currently, division leaders for the East is the Miami Dolphins with a 7-3 record. And Buffalo is not too far behind. In the North, you have the Baltimore Ravens, and they have an 8-3 record. And Cleveland is not that far behind. I told y'all, Cleveland come out here and play gangbusters. In the South, you have Jacksonville. And, of course, the AFC West, you have Kansas City. So, what do you think about these current setups now?
Well, for the AFC West, North, and South, mm-hmm. I would say it's kind of tight. It's a tight race going on. If Kansas keeps sliding like they are, Denver got a chance. They about two games behind them. Mm-hmm. And the Raiders is two games behind the Broncos. The Broncos. Mm-hmm. And then when you look at the South, yes, Houston is balling. C.J. Stroud is having an amazing year. But Jacksonville is still number one in that division with a 7-3 record.
Right.
So you know, it's a tight race. And then, you know, AFC North, that's still very, very tight. But due to injuries, I feel like it's not going to be tight for long. with Watson and Joe being out, I don't know.
I look at it like this. Yeah, this is significant injuries, especially to the Bengals and the Browns, those teams out of Ohio. Now, here's the thing. I really feel like the Steelers, like I told y'all a while back, Cleveland and Pittsburgh can flip-flop at this point just by strength of their defenses. As we saw on Sunday, that Cleveland defense is here to play. Enough said. That defense calls you guys to fire your offensive coordinator, which, you know, at the end of the day.
That was the last straw, but they should have been fired him a long time ago.
I ain't gonna do y'all like that. But, I mean, yeah, he called some really questionable plays that game. But at the same time, your quarterback got to produce. So, the way I'm looking at it, Cleveland has that defense. And I'm talking about the North specifically. I'm going to get to all of them. Cleveland got that defense that really shapes up to not make some noise, but to have a decent run. Pittsburgh, on the other hand, has the easiest schedule left. And they're not, right. I mean, you still got to play Cincinnati twice, and you're playing against their backup. And Cincinnati defense is really not that good. Cincinnati, they butt cheeks right now. They're not going nowhere. As far as the East, honestly, I really feel like when it comes down to it, it's going to come down to Miami and Buffalo at per usual. And what's going to happen is that game in Buffalo, I think, have they played each other yet?
Miami and Buffalo?
Yeah.
They played once.
They played once, and that was in Miami?
That was in Buffalo.
It was in Buffalo.
I think Buffalo going to Miami.
Okay. Okay,
and Buffalo got to get ready to go to Miami.
And Buffalo handled Miami in that game. I do remember that score because they blew them out. So they got to see him again in Miami. That's going to be for the AFC East.
They're playing the last week too.
It's going to be for the division title at some point. Now, the division that I'm keeping an eye on really is the AFC South, specifically Jacksonville and Houston. First of all, we did not expect Houston to be what they are now. And big shout out to CJ Stroud. big shout out to that dude. I mean, but Jacksonville and Houston, that's going to be a tight race too. I'm going to be honest with you. As far as Kansas City,
they play Sunday too.
They play Sunday. I think I will look out for that game since we don't play till the eight o'clock game. I think the runaway favorite right now is the Chiefs. But here's the thing I don't like about the Chiefs: in the past few games, they have not scored a point in the second half. So that's leaving me to wonder. Of course, they're gonna beat up on their division. That go without say. They're gonna beat up on the division, but I don't think they're going to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. Not with that formula.
Well, y'all currently number one right now. So
currently, but I'm not really celebrating. But yeah.
But just looking at the Chiefs' remaining schedule, they got the Raiders, the Packers, the Bills, the Patriots, the Raiders, Cincinnati, and the Chargers.
they favorite to win their division.
They still favorite to win their division. So, I mean, just looking at it right now, though, because Baltimore, like, again, y'all number one, and y'all got the Chargers, the Rams, the Jags, the Niners, the Dolphins, and the Steelers. So y'all kind of got a tough stretch.
I mean, honestly, in that last slate of games, the games I'm really concerned about is the Dolphins and the 49ers and mildly Jacksonville. If we win that Jacksonville game, then then it's not going to matter what we do against Pittsburgh because, you know, y'all lost to them earlier in the season. So it's not going to really matter. But that's that game is what we're really looking at.
Looking at it right now, though, I still feel like Kansas do got a chance to represent number one seed for the AFC conference because their schedule is pretty favorable. Mm-hmm. And you know, Baltimore got a tough stretch. Not saying y'all can't win them, but it's gonna be a little bit tougher for them. Even though Kansas this year ain't been the same Kansas, high scoring Kansas. They run into some walls here and there.
Yep.
They're dealing with some drop passes.
A whole lot of them.
I mean, shout out to Patrick Mahomes for being loyal to his receivers because he has yet to throw anybody underneath the bus on that wide open touchdown pass that Marquez dropped. He said that he should have, you know, maybe put it behind him a little bit, even though it hit him dead in his hands.
Right.
But nevertheless, I mean,
you don't get, come on. That's all you got to do.
You don't get no better than that. But, I feel like between Kansas and Jacksonville, because Jacksonville is winning games too quietly. But it's still favorite for Kansas to somehow miraculously be number one again. I don't know how to do it.
I'm going to be honest with you. Kansas City is, like you said, they're not what they used to be. But at the same time, you got to take the context that they getting shut out. Now, granted, Monday night, they had a lot of drop passes. So we're going to call that an aberration. But we talking about before Monday, you getting shut out in the second half. And this is this Kansas City we talking about.
Right.
So, I mean, and then and when it comes down to the division, you know, the Raiders play them hard anyway. The Raiders play them hard. And I feel like they're going to be all right. They can have the number one seed as far as I'm concerned, but that's going to be their advantage. If they win out and get that number one seed, that's how they get back to the Super Bowl because you go to Arrowhead, right. You're going to get lost. So
everything got
to
go through Kansas.
Everything got to go through Arrowhead.
That's about the only way.
They better not slip up. They better not slip up. I mean,
they slipping it, and they got some games that Bills game. I'm not, like I said, nobody is really sold on the Bills. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, they are the type of team that have a horrible game and then have a really good game and then they just so flip-flop. You just never know. I always still count them as a contender because they still have a pretty decent, team on paper.
to me, and I like that you said that, but to me, they're a contender by default this year. Because nobody else is really taking up the banner. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But, you know, it's neither here nor there. Like I said, if Kansas City makes it to the Super Bowl, that means they got the number one seed and everybody can Arrowhead. Not saying that you cannot win in Arrowhead because the Eagles proved that you can win in Arrowhead regardless of what's going on. But the playoffs is a different animal. And speaking of those NFC, current NFC reigning defending champions, let's talk about the NFC now. The Eagles have the best record in the National Football League with 9-1. They only lost one game this year. In my opinion, they need to lose at least one more so they don't get too big-headed. You know what I'm saying? The Cowboys, I'm going to go ahead and put it like this. If the Eagles keep doing what they're doing, they're going to win that division within the next 2 weeks. They're going to be like the first division champs in the league this year.
Yeah. And the first time that somebody repeated the NFC twice back-to-back years, nobody thought they could do.
Hey.
But I will say that the Eagles' remaining schedule is tough.
It is.
Tough. I wouldn't say that they have the conference locked right now. Detroit is currently losing right now 20-6 to the Packers. But the Lions do have some winnable games still remaining on that schedule.
Yeah.
Just because of how they played last year, you know, they was in a lot of one scoring games. So their schedule is much easier later on than others.
Yeah. And it is a short week for them.
Hence why they got the Eagles playing the Bills. the 49ers, the Cowboys, and the Seahawks for the next 4 weeks of football because they've been winning games. But so I will say,
but I said they need to lose at least one of them games just so they don't get knocked off course.
Right, exactly. But honestly, you know, I'm intrigued to see the next 2 weeks of football for them. They face the Bills and the 49ers. If they beat the Bills and the 49ers, forget about it.
Yeah.
They got it.
If you beat, I ain't gonna say the Bills, cause like I said a few minutes ago, to me the Bills are a contender by default. So I'm not even gonna do that. Right. I'm not even gonna, you know, insult Philadelphia's intelligence right there. But I will say, if you can beat the 49ers again in less than a calendar year, yeah, cancel Christmas. Eagles will win the number one seed NFC.
my Super Bowl pick.
Yes, one half of my pick anyway. The jury's still out the AFC.
It's a lot to still be seen in the AFC. The AFC is wide open. You look at the NFC, it's more on a consistent base, you know, type thing. AFC is just a very tough conference. They got a lot of things going on. Got a lot of young players that's playing good. Mm-hmm. And then also with injuries impacting a lot of formal playoff teams like Cincinnati. Mm. I have no idea what's going on with the Chargers. I think they're the most
dysfunctional,
overrated. team. During the offseason, you hear a lot about the Chargers, you know, Justin Herbert and their defense, yada yada. Mm-hmm. But yet you look at the Chargers and they're 4-6. Yes. And I just don't understand how you 4-6 with Justin Herbert, with Dongong Keenan Allen, mm-hmm. with Austin Eckler, Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa on the defensive side of the ball. Like I kind of agree with
Tom Brady,
what he just said recently about I kind of agree about Tom Brady said about the NFL being mediocre. Because, ain't no way.
I wish Tom Brady would shut his mouth for the simple fact. The reason why the NFL is mediocre right now is because of him.
You're right, though. You're right. I'm glad he's gone, though.
So I can't even take what Tom Brady say in the full context. Because I heard him say that bull job. He was talking about NFL soft. They can't do this. They can't do that. They can't do it because of him.
Right.
Every rule that they came up to benefit the offense is because of Thomas Edward Patrick Brady. And the only reason why I know his name because it's Skip Bayless.
Right.
So I don't even want to hear Tom. I want to know him. I mean, I respect him. He the GOAT of this era of NFL. I give it to him, but he need to shut his mouth and stay in retirement. That's all I got to say about him.
But in my opinion, though, and I'll let you have your take on this, mm-hmm. but in the NFC, outside of the Eagles, the Lions, and the 49ers, all the rest of the teams is pretty much a toss-up.
Yeah, like teams like the Saints, they're not going to go. I mean, they might win that division, but they're not going nowhere because their division is kind of butt cheeks right now. I mean, and then they sitting at 5-5, so we ain't going to talk about them.
I feel like
Minnesota has come up of age, though, ever since they made that trade for Josh Dobbs. They've been impressive.
What they did was save their season.
That's exactly what they did.
Yeah, that's what they did.
They looked around. They was like, you know what? Josh Dobbs did do a little something. Let me go and trade for him. And I think
seen how he was playing in Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not gonna. Yeah. I ain't gonna say the Jada Pinkett Smith won't balling because he was balling, but you know. Big shout out to Minnesota, man. Shout out to Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Green Bay, they dead in the water. Chicago, they dead in the water. It's honestly, the suspects is going to be Philly, Detroit, New Orleans, San Francisco, Dallas. And my last one would probably be between Minnesota or Seattle. In that NFC playoffs.
I think I like Seattle too, as a favorite over Minnesota, just a tad. But like you said, Josh Dobbs, he has been balling though. Really? He got an opportunity to, you know, showcase his talents and stuff.
His full potential.
Yeah, he balling. I ain't gonna lie to you, but
Which makes me wonder. that's on y'all. That's all I'm gonna say. That's on Pittsburgh. They could have had that. They could have had somebody to run that offense the way it's gonna be ran.
Yeah, I think when he was there, he was playing behind Ben.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And that's just tough. I'm just gonna leave it like that. That's tough.
I mean, even Charlie Batch didn't see the field until Ben got hurt. So
It's tough to play behind a guy like that. Yeah. I'll just say that.
But let's kind of double back to the AFC now. Like I said, the AFC as a whole is tight. But as far as Baltimore is concerned, we really have a small margin of error. Because if we go on a skid now, we're in trouble. We are definitely in trouble. That's why I need, Baltimore, listen up. Happy Turkey Bird Day, Baltimore. Happy Turkey Boy Day. Go cross country and handle your business. Don't play down to them. That's all
your defense, I feel like you guys' defense got to not give up the lead late in the game.
That's all I'm saying. Take care of your business.
That's what it boils down to.
That's what it boils down to. Because honestly, this is the first time in forever I can say I'm okay with the Baltimore Raven offense. Even though we lost Mark Andrews, I'm still fine with it. It's the defense that I have a concern. And don't get me wrong, they've been playing at an elite level. But like you said, game against Cleveland, gave up the lead at the end.
Yeah, even leaking back until last year.
Yeah. Because we had Buffalo dead in the water. We had Miami dead in the water. If we would have won them two games, good gosh. That whole back-to-back playing Cincinnati wouldn't have mattered because we would have won AFC North off that one. Probably the conference.
I do feel like the Baltimore's offense will be challenged some with the loss of Mark Andrews because he allows you guys to do a lot. He's not only is he a good blocking tight end for the run, but he's got hands.
That's not him. He's not a blocker, man. He's more of a pass catcher. See?
Well, yeah, I mean, he can catch the ball, but
that's why we still carry a fullback on the roster because Mark Andrews, as great as he is, he's not a blocker. I ain't never seen it.
Oh, no. Not solely.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that with the attention that he gravitates, especially in the middle of the field and in the red zone, that's big. You know, Mark Andrews is Lamar Jackson's pretty much before they flowers, because he loving the rookies, they flowers right now.
Oh, yeah.
But before they flowers,
it was all Mark Andrews. I give you that. Yeah. But if you look at the evolution of it this year, there were some games that I'm calling John Harbaugh. I'm like, bro, why are you not having Zay Flowers more in the game plan? And when he does touch the ball, great things happen. So can a Zay Flowers and the Odell Beckham Jr., Nelson Aguilar, and Rashad Bateman, can they fill the void? Not completely. But I got a stat for you. So I want to say it was either last year or year before last, and Mark Andrews was out for like four games. We went 4-0. And then we had nowhere near the receivers we had. And that's saying a lot. I mean, I ain't never seen a day where I could say that Baltimore Ravens got better receivers than the Kansas City Chiefs. But we went 4-0 in that stretch. And am I concerned? Yeah. But my thing is, and the news broke that his injury was not as severe as they initially thought. So that tells me, okay, the rest of y'all, just get us to the dance. He could come back for the dance. He could come back for the dance, and then we can take it from there.
Yeah, he did.
Listen, it's like that. It's like, when you got a stable of women, and then one ain't performing the way that she should perform. So you go to the other woman, and she gets you there. And once you get there, you go on back to that first one that won't perform well. You already good, but that's
right.
You know what I'm saying? You already in there. So, kids, don't try that at home.
don't do that.
Yeah, be good.
Y'all gonna feel some effects though.
Yeah, it's gonna be something.
That's huge. That's a huge loss.
It's a huge. I don't think it's huge as
well. I'm saying that y'all can't win without them.
Right.
I'm just saying. But then again, I kind of backtrack on that a little because likely played good when Mark Andrews was out, even though he's a different type of tight end, in my opinion.
Yeah, but, of course.
But he played good. So hopefully he'll be able to. But those are still big shoes to fill because, like I said, he draws a lot of attention.
And he gets open when you think he ain't open, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think the biggest thing we're going to miss, is that physicality that he brought. Like I said, he got open. The one-handed catches he'll do, you know, hitting it down the sideline. We need a quick first down. He go get it. That's the part I feel like we're going to miss. But I feel like we can hold the ship until he come back. That's it. That's why, you know, I really feel that way. Like, maybe about 2-3 years ago, I'd be like, nah, we done. But my mind is, I don't know what it is. Even when I saw him get hurt, even my wife, shout out to my wife. She was looking at the game. She saw him on the ground. We thought it was a spinal injury at first.
So yeah, because how he fell.
Yeah, how he fell. Which, you know, they... It was Cincinnati. You know, Cincinnati dirty anyway. They got a history of dirty.
Yeah, Cincinnati is dirty.
We just need to sign Juju Smith-Schuster for one game against Cincinnati so he can get our lick back.
Yeah.
So he can get our lick back for us. I mean, but at the end of the day, you know, it is what it is. I feel like Baltimore, maybe Pittsburgh, if they get that offense thing taken care of, because y'all gonna be a hard out too if y'all make it, just simply because of your defense.
Yeah. It's gotta be, man. I'm offense, so we can run the ball well, but we got to get
y'all don't stick to it.
Johnson and Kenny and Pickens involved a lot more.
But that goes back to your quarterback. Your quarterback is wildly inconsistent at this point. I mean, I've seen time. Matter of fact, go back to that game on Sunday. I should have pulled up the dog on all 22 on it, but you had a man opening the flat and he just threw it to the sideline. I'm like, bro,
yeah,
that could have got you at least four.
He's missing throws, but that offensive coordinator, Matt, that's the first time. I mean, that says a lot about him because like Pittsburgh don't do that type of work. We ain't did that since 1941. So that's a long time.
Yeah.
You know, a very loyal franchise, but he has not been a productive offensive coordinator for the past 2 years.
That's because he had the defense to rely on.
That too, but still, we're the only team in the NFL without over a 400-yard, you know, total with rushing and passing out of all 32 teams.
And y'all was outgained by everybody this year up until Sunday. And the only reason why y'all had, like, they showed it on TV, I want to say it was like 240-some total yards, was the fact that the running back was able to break a big one for a touchdown.
Right.
Yeah. I'm like this. Use what works. If you don't want Cleveland offense to get on the field, run the darn ball. Y'all was gashing them.
We still supposed to have won that game, though. Still supposed to have won it.
Cleveland wanted it more.
Cleveland got lucky.
No. Your defense. No, this is what happened. This is what happens. This is football. Y'all had X amount of three and outs. So your defense probably got about 2 minutes of rest at average, about 2 minutes of rest. They had to go back out there, and on the final drive, they couldn't take it. By that time. I seen so many dudes, so many Pittsburgh dudes out there like this. When they hands on their hips, you know it's a wrap. And I'm like, okay, don't let them get in field goal range. That's all you got to do. Don't let them get in field goal range. And what y'all do?
When we got the ball back with 5:47 left.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter, that should have been the end of the game.
It should have been.
We forced Cleveland to a punt. The drive after that, then we punted, and then they kicked the field goal with a minute and 16 left.
That was on y'all.
If we would have been productive with 5:40 and at least took off 2-3 minutes off the clock with running the ball, because look, Kenny passed to it right to George Pickens. That was for 12 yards. Mm-hmm. That's the first down. All right. Then shotgun, pass incomplete. All right, so now it's 2nd and 10. Mm. Then we run with Najee Harris, lose 5 yards.
Yep.
So now it's 3rd and 15. Now Kenny Pickett passed short to Jaylen Warren for 2 yards. Now we punt
the ball.
And we gave Cleveland over three and a half minutes left of possession.
Which was plenty
of time. But our defense still managed to force a punt. So really we had two opportunities to win the game late on in the fourth quarter.
But that last drive, though, you could tell it. If you could see it on the screen, it was like they were gassed at that point because they had to go. They was out there, then they had to sit down. They went right back out there. So the defense is doing its job. So I'm not even going to put that on defense. Yeah. It's your offense. When you don't consistently run the ball, get back to Pittsburgh, steal the football, consistently run the ball. You got a dog back there that's still on the leash, and he ready to get on. He ready to bite something. But as soon as he had that big run, y'all took him out the game. He had that big run, and you ain't see him like that no more.
Yeah, that's true. But also, in the same token, the run game has been working for us for the last few weeks as far as yardage. We've been running the ball well, but it's not suffice when you can't include your playmakers, when you ride out. You got a dog in George Pickens and Deontay Johnson. We need to be using them more and getting them more involved and stop being so predictable. Because that was one of the problems with Matt Canada, that everybody knew exactly what we was going to run because we're so predictable. They know if you see Najee Harris back there in single back,
you know
there ain't no
run.
Play action coming. We're running the ball.
You're running north-south all day.
So it's just offense is way too predictable, and we got a lot of young talent. And I feel like I'm okay with the firing, you know? But then again, it's like it's a chance because we in, week 11, week 12, with no offensive coordinator.
At the end of the day, it's too late in the season to install a whole new philosophy. The best that interim coordinator is going to do is put a couple of sprinkles on that playbook because y'all can still run the same system.
But the great thing, though, I feel like it's kind of weird how we got it set up because the quarterback coach is actually going to be doing the play calling. So, in a sense, we're trying to help Kenny Pickett some. Because we know he's been struggling.
Right.
But with the quarterback coach being the play caller, we're going to aim more to figure out what Kenny likes more.
Yeah.
More, and let him kind of take control in that. But it's just, it's a lot of things that we need to do. I mean, we already know we already got a two power back run game with Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris. We already got that established.
I swear.
Now it's just a matter of getting the receivers out there and including that play action and letting Kenny throw down the field and take advantage of one-on-ones that George Pickens be having and continue to run the ball and play good defense.
Our
defense already been...
Now, granted, George Pickens has been locked up for the past couple of weeks.
I know. But we still got Johnson. And I really want us to start using that Calvin Austin guy. Because that's the speedster right here. That's the speedster.
Y'all, the overwhelming constant is that offense need to be fixed. And honestly, and this is coming from me, I don't think Kenny Pickett's going to be the long-term answer. I'm sorry. I'm not sold on the guy just yet. Just based on what I saw Sunday and what I've been seeing whenever a Pittsburgh game is on TV, that's not winning football at this point when it comes down to the accuracy of the guy as well as the consistency.
Kenny got to be better at taking what the defense give him.
That's it.
And not
trying to play hero ball.
He got to be he's not confident within himself. That's the issue.
Yeah,
he's playing with a very low confidence right now.
That's tough.
And it ain't enough to win. Our defense is carrying this team, but I will say that he's had a lot of pass attempts.
Yes, he did.
Without turning over the ball. So that's not the issue of him turning on the ball. It's the lack of productivity as far as yardage and getting and putting him in manageable third down, you know, conversion situation.
Right.
On first and second down, we need to be trying to get at least 4 to 5 yards at least.
And that's what put him in that third and short. That's what consistently using your relying on your running game come to play, because you got people back there. And you put you put y'all running backs on the Baltimore Ravens, and you'll see how good this y'all running game is. Like, real talk. But
yeah,
and we ain't mean to get on a Pittsburgh Baltimore tangent, but it's Turkey Bowl 8 days, so it don't matter. So let us know in the comments, you know, what you think. What you think about this? And it's kind of early. It's only week 11. Well, excuse me, week 12. It's only week 12, so it's kind of early. We still got a few more weeks of football left to go. What do y'all think is going to happen? Who do y'all think is going to run away with the AFC? Who y'all think is going to get that home field advantage in the AFC? And we ain't even going to ask y'all about the NFC, because it almost like a concrete lock, to be real. But that's, you know, that's football for you, boy, I tell you. But thank y'all again for tuning into the show, this Turkey Boy Day special.
Turkey Boy Day.
So after we sign off, I got to go in the kitchen.
Yeah, I
got
to get to the yams.
I got to get to the yams, the sweet, sweet yams. Show me the way.
Yes, sir.
Because I got bills to pay. Man, I'm trying to tell you, that man a prophet, boy, I swear. But look, yeah, let us know in the comments. You know, remember to like, share, subscribe, everything like that, man. And y'all, look, have a happy, safe, blessed, fun-filled Turkey Boy Day. And that's coming from the bottom of my heart. And you got anything you want to add, man?
Nah, man. Just remember, make sure you ask, can I get to the yams?
That's what
is the yams you eating?
Uh-oh.
Or the yams you smacking?
Oh, boy. Let me tell y'all something. No, man, you done started something.
Yeah, I don't know, but I just know you got to get to the yams.
Let me tell you something. Every man got a yam in the stash. I'm trying to tell you. Now, let me tell y'all something about them yams. Don't let that tryptophan fool you now, because if you take that blue chew, you'll be all right, let's go. I'm out.
Oh, boy.
Hey, man, it's been a Bad Boy Sports Podcast, man. What's your man for? But look, how you said it last show, the bull daggers now. Don't y'all, look, y'all can't handle yams.
I ain't messing.
No, man, Turkey Boy Day, man. I'm happy. I'm excited, bro. I got the turkey. I can smell the Turkey Boy at night.
Boy, I tell you, boy. Turkey Boy, I tell you.
He
don't even fly.
He
just sit there
and
run around.
Yeah, sit there and run around in that gravy for me.
Yeah, that Turkey Boy, he give him a nice little wing.
Yeah, and that's what I got the wings. I ain't do the whole Turkey Boy. I got wings.
Oh, the
Wayne. Yes, sir. I got to go eat. So, I holler at y'all later. This has been the Bad Boy Sports Podcast. With your man Fuzz, man.
And Carl.
And we out, man. Happy Thanksgiving, y'all.
Happy Thanksgiving.